to Two Beers In. I'm JD Miller.
Hey everybody, this is Bobby. I'm working out right now,
JD. You are. Episode 181. Why are you working out in the studio?
Well, you have to work up a sweat to get it, right? Is that...
It's... Oh my... Have you seen those?
I was just over at the Sports Mockery website looking at the Gatorade commercials. Now, those are awesome.
The Peyton Manning... I knew you'd like it because it's Peyton Manning.
Of course.
The Cam Newton ones are hilarious. It's all on sportsmockery.com. You can see all of them. It is awesome.
Yeah, those new Gatorade commercials. Well, speaking of awesome, we have an awesome show this week.
Yeah, we have Pete Burchich, former Minnesota Viking linebacker and coach. He's now color commentary guy for the Vikings Radio Network. He's joining us to talk Minnesota Vikings, the NFC North.
Yeah, our march around the NFC North continues.
Yep, and some of the stuff he says may actually surprise you with how this team's coming together.
Absolutely, and he gives us a final prediction on the year, and I think a lot of Vikings fans will be happy with that. I think Bears fans might be a little nervous about what he's predicting for that.
Yeah. Wow, you put the ball right up there on the tee. Ready for the excitement? We also have some great music, as always.
Yeah, we have an artist that just has a brand new release this week. Corey Brannon's going to be our featured artist this week. We'll get to that after Pete's interview. And as always, we have the six-pack of questions for each other. I'm really excited about this week's questions. I'm putting you on the hot seat for a couple NFL things. And then maybe a couple personal things this week. Maybe I'm striking back.
I feel like I may have attacked you the last couple of weeks.
Probably
just
have,
a little bit. So I'm expecting a little retaliation. I'm ready for it. I have a beer in hand. Do you have a beer in hand?
We're drinking different beers today.
We are. I'm drinking a good old standby, the Lagunitas little something something.
It's brewed now here in Chicago. Gotta love that part. I'm drinking Revolution's Rosa, the hibiscus ale. It's a great beer. It's actually got a little red tint to it because of the hibiscus. It gives it a little sweet flavor, but it is a good ale. How's that something something's treating you?
That something something just got done. I'm ready for another little something something. Anyway, stick around. We have a great show.
It looked like 10 years and two more. And I held the girl closer than was safe. Take what you want from me.
We're joined now by Pete Burchich. Pete's a former Minnesota Vikings linebacker, drafted in the seventh round in 1994, with the team from 95 to 2000, then back as a coach from 2002 to 2005. Now he's part of the KFAN broadcasting booth, as he's part of the Vikings Radio Network. Joining us is Pete Burchich. How are you doing, Pete?
I'm good. How are you guys today?
We're doing wonderful, Pete. We're excited to talk some Vikings with you, and nobody's more excited than JD. He's a lifelong Vikings fan. He's had this on the calendar for a while.
I have, and actually, Pete, I interviewed you back, I believe it was in 96 or 97, way back when, so.
Comes around full circle.
Funny story, I finally got a chance to talk a little bit with Anthony Barr, and I told him that I went to college and played with his dad and his uncle, and he just looked at me and he goes, "Man, that was a long time ago."
Well,
so, yeah, everybody's feeling a little bit old today.
So. Well, let's start off talking about the linebacker crew that Minnesota has. Zimmer's a big defensive minded guy. He's had an impact on Chad Greenway, we've heard already. Where do you think this linebacker crew is going for the Vikings?
I think you kind of got a wild card in the addition of Anthony Barr. I think how they use Anthony is only going to be limited by how much Anthony can handle mentally. If you look at base downs, they have him right now playing off the ball, which is going to be a tough transition for him. It's a tough transition for anyone who, let alone only played a year or two of linebacker or outside linebacker or defensive end in college, and then going from on the line of scrimmage to off. Now, granted, during the regular season, I don't think that they'll give him he'll get plenty of snaps on the line, probably as a defensive end in third down situations or, even in a 3-3-5 type situation where he's free to walk around. And if you can study and learn the opponent's protections enough, you can get him matched up oftentimes with a running back. And we've seen already that if he's blocked by a running back or a tight end, he's going to win that battle 95% of the time. So if he's able to handle that kind of a mental load on third down, then I think he could be a very positive influence. I think Jasper Brinkley will end up being the starter in the middle. Jasper just came back from the Arizona Cardinals. He's a lot lighter. A little different scheme for him now, but if you look at what Cincinnati did in the past, Coach Zimmer did in the past with guys like Vontaze Burfict and some of those other guys, he took a lot of players of lesser physical ability. I'm not trying to take away anything from Burfict, but made really good, solid players out of them. It's a different kind of scheme. It's not your Tampa 2 where these guys are just running inside out to the football. You know, they're playing in between the tackles and they're playing in the box. And so I think Brinkley's positioned very well for that. And I think for Greenway, he'll benefit, I think, from the attention that they're given to fundamentals and precision, precise in your alignments, precise in your footwork. And, you know, it may seem kind of rudimentary. Everyone must think, well, everybody's that way. It's not always that way. Sometimes defenses, you know, give players a little bit of a, you know, for lack of a better term, a fudge factor. And in this case, with the way Zimmer runs his defense, it's an exact situation. And, you know, I think the other thing that's going to happen is they're not just dropping the spots. They're pattern reading. They're reading. They're matching up. And for, you know, a guy like Greenway, who's been around for a while, he's smart. I expect to see a lot more out of him on the coverage end of things, too.
You know, losing Jared Allen in the offseason means you got to find somebody who's going to be picking up those 11 to 12 sacks per year and those pressures. Who do you think is going to be picking those up for the Vikings with Allen gone?
Well, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that one guy is going to replace Jared Allen. I mean, you're going to have a number of guys. I think Brian Robinson, you know, is one guy that's definitely suited to take a lot of those snaps and hopefully take over a little bit of that. You've seen him actually as an interior pass rusher on some third downs. Everson Griffin is another guy who, you know, they paid a good amount of money to. I think they paid him a lot on potential, and he had that physical ability. And then I think Anthony Barr is the other guy. He's the other wild card. And, you know, is he going to play defensive end and, you know, two-minute situations and in third down situations? And if that's the case, then, yeah, I would expect him to help as well. And, you know, for a guy like Jared, you know, like I said, it's just so hard to have one guy replace his productivity. And I think if you can, like I said earlier, get these guys schematically in the right spots and do some neat things and attacks and protections, you'll be able to fill that void.
What about the secondary? There's been a lot of movement in the offseason trying to shore up the secondary. It seems like it's every year it's been a discussion trying to you know, really get some shutdown corners to handle those tall receivers in the division. How do you think how would you rate them, I guess I would say, in the offseason and coming in?
Well, you know, I think that they're playing better. And again, I attribute a lot of this to the system. Last year, you saw a lot of guys catching footballs, turning up the field, and then tackling. And now it seems that they're challenging routes, a lot more. You know, I think Captain Munnerlyn brings an attitude, a precision fundamentally, some football savvy to this group. He's a tough guy. I mean, he's not quite Antoine Winfield. But he's not afraid to stick his nose in there. He's a little undersized, but he doesn't play that way. Xavier Rhodes, I think, has improved quite a bit already from a technique standpoint. You know, he let a big pass get by him, at least a touchdown against Arizona, and he was all in the right spot. It's just a matter of timing his jump better and a little more playing ball. And I think that you know, for a DB, that it's tough to do. Some guys have a knack for playing the football, and if you don't have that, it's a tough thing to do. But I think Xavier's talented enough, you know, to do that. I think Harrison Smith is doing just fine at the safety. He's a rarity in this league where he can cover and he can tackle. So he's continuing to play well. He's blitzing well. Robert Blanton is a big question mark at the other safety spot. He's kind of the heir apparent going into camp, but he can't stay healthy. You know, the old saying, you can't make the club in the tub. And if you're not on the field, you're going to get left behind. So, you know, guys like Jamarcus Sanford are still in the mix. And you know, I think there's some other guys that could be there. Well, if there's one position on this defense that's really kind of up for grabs, for lack of a better term, it's the safety position alongside Harrison Smith.
Well, let's go to the other side of the ball. Stat came out that the top-rated quarterback in the NFL so far this preseason is Matt Castle. But yet there's still talk up there that, is it Teddy? Is it Matt? What indication are you getting right now?
Well, the way it looks and the way things are going, Matt Castle will be the starter day one. I think what's nice with Teddy Bridgewater is, you know, you look at that nice two-minute drive that he had at the end of the game last week, and we, you know, we can all put aside the preseason cliches, and yes, it was against the, you know, against the third team defense, and you know, and yes, Arizona did play mostly man to man and those kinds of things. However, Teddy was calm in the pocket. He threw a lot of really nice passes with guys in his lap, guys that were blitzing, threw off his back leg and was still able to get some passes to the outside. I mean, he had a really nice deep ball that he threw, and that's something that I think this offense has been missing. It's the deep ball, it's the touch, the arm strength, all those things, and that threat has to loom, especially when you have a guy like Adrian Peterson taking the snaps, because as a defense, you're going to look at this offense and say, the guy that we have to stop is number 28. I think that's still going to hold true, and by doing that, you're really going to pack a lot of people inside the box and make sure we're stopping the run. Well, that leaves a lot of one-on-ones on the outside. You know, the wide receiver core and Rudolph, I'm sure you guys are going to get to them here in a minute, but, you know, they look pretty good. The Castle is making the right decisions. He's very accurate and timely with his throws, and right now that's what this offense needs.
Well, and the biggest change for the offense in the offseason was the addition of Norv Turner. I mean, there really was the players that you're seeing on the field this year, if you're watching the Vikings game, are pretty much going to be the same players that you saw last season. So what is it that we're going to see different when we're watching the Vikings this year on offense?
You're going to see a lot more in the way of movement before the ball. There's always going to be a shift and an emotion and those kinds of things, and that lets the quarterback read the defense and hopefully get a pre-snap read if it's man or if it's zone or, you know, really what they're doing. The other thing too is you look at the concepts and the routes that he runs, and I don't want to get too coachy necessarily, too much into the coach speak, but coaches really kind of go one of two ways. Either they have a system or a theme or a concept from a passing standpoint, and they basically run it. Or you see guys who try to attack coverages. And I've already seen enough creativity out of Norv Turner and Kyle Rudolph. You just look at the four big receptions that he's had in the first two games. Those are all products of calling routes, especially with Rudolph, that are going to give certain coverages trouble. And again, Matt Castle's smart enough, accurate enough, on time enough to get in the ball. And I think that's the main thing that Norv Turner's going to do. He's just going to keep switching things up. I'm very, very interested and anxious to see how he's going to deal or handle Adrian Peterson. Adrian, really, the last couple of years has just learned how to run behind a fullback, a little bit of patience.
Mm-hmm.
And Felton right now, I think, is a big question mark. I don't know if there's room on this offensive roster for him. They just don't really use him enough. And I don't know if he's versatile enough as a fullback. You know, you look at San Diego, they always have a guy like Tolbert, who's a big guy, kind of a fullback, but not quite. He can still run the football.
Sure.
So whether or not he'll be around, I don't know. I think Matt Asiata might end up being the guy that fills in at fullback occasionally, and it'll go from there. So we'll see. But Norv Turner's made a big difference. The players have bought into him. They have confidence in him. And that makes a huge, huge difference on the field.
One of the guys who is very excited about Norv Turner coming in is Greg Jennings. Ben Lieber talked to him during the game that you called just a couple days ago. And Jennings and these veteran receivers seem to have bought into the system. Do you see them gelling differently this year?
As a group, I think there's, you know, the big question mark is going to be Jerome Simpson and what's going to happen with him. Is he going to be suspended? If he is, then I kind of see it hard for him to make the roster as well. You know, as players, you just want to be better. And if you know what the coordinator is saying, what the coordinator is installing, what he's doing is going to make you better, and you have that faith, they're going to listen. And by listening and doing what they're asked to do, it's going to make them better, and i.e. a longer career and more money. So you need someone with the gravitas of a Norv Turner to you know, to have a guy like Jennings excited. And I think the other reason Jennings would be excited is because of Castle. Jennings' productivity was very low, you know, if any. He really didn't show up much when Ponder was at quarterback. But as soon as Castle came in that game in London against the Steelers last year, all of a sudden, boom, Greg Jennings became a factor. So just he runs such good bread-and-butter routes. Plants, things like that, and if you don't have a quarterback that can throw them, doesn't have the timing and the vision to do that, he's not going to be much of a factor. So I think he's excited, number one, because of Turner and what he presents, and number two, that Matt Castle right now is a starting quarterback.
We're based here in Chicago. Real quick, how do you feel about the Bears this year? It looks like they reloaded.
The big question, I think, for the Bears is going to be defensively, how are they going to hold up? Offensively, they're returning everybody from last year. And you know, with guys like Cutler, who's very, very streaky, Matt Forte. And, you look at the Bears last year, and they had the number one wide receiver duo in the NFL. And I don't know if that's ever happened. I mean, growing up in Chicago, you're used to defense, you're used to black and blue and all that other stuff. Insert your football cliche there, but they're really they've really changed it around, and they have an offensive focus. And so you look at this division, you look at Green Bay, you look at Chicago, and you look at Detroit, they're all pretty explosive, efficient offenses. Defenses across the board are going to be the question, and so maybe it's going to end up being the team with the best defense in this division wins the whole thing. So we'll see. It's going to be a very, very interesting year.
Last question for you, back to the Vikings. We're expecting definitely an improved team this season. What's your prediction? Is this an 8-8 team, or do they have what it takes to be better?
I looking at the schedule and seeing what's in store. Last year, Cutler was hurt, Rodgers was hurt. I don't think Stafford played the entire season either, so you had some opportunities. Last year was a golden opportunity to win a division that they missed, that they lost. And if you remember, we lost about four games with under a minute to go. So the season last year could have easily gone a different direction. So it's going to be very, very competitive. You look at the off season with the AFC East having to go to Miami, having New England coming here, going to New Orleans. Going to Miami, going to Tampa Bay, going to Buffalo, and so those are the kinds of teams that you would expect to get a good win out of. But when you're playing those teams on the road, it's always the equalizer. Having said all that, I think 8-8 or above would be a very successful season for this team. I really do. It's really a wild card, but I really, really like what Coach Zimmer's doing. I really like what North Turner's doing, what George Edwards is doing. I like what the staff is doing with the team. So they are going to be much improved.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Pete. And you can check Pete out as part of the Vikings Radio Network doing color for them. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Telling me to run, stop around when I should
have been there. That was fun.
Are you happy now that you got your Vikings preview? Did you get your questions answered?
I did get my questions answered, and last week we got our Packer questions answered. Yeah. We'll get our Lions questions answered. So we'll have a whole picture of what the NFC North is going to look like
by next week. All right. This week, as we teased in the beginning, Corey Brannon has a new album out this week. It's called The No-Hit Wonder. It's off of Bloodshot Records. You can check out Corey at CoreyBrannon.com or at BloodshotRecords.com. The album's going to be available on iTunes, it's Amazon, it's everywhere. Check it out. This is the actual, the title track, JD, The No-Hit Wonder.
All right, Bobby. It is time for our six-pack of questions, random questions we ask each other. And I'm going to start, Bobby.
Yeah.
Because you went first the last 2 weeks.
I appreciate that, JD.
Little League World Series is going on.
Yeah.
Better ratings when Illinois' team played than the Sox and the Cubs. Right? I wanted you to go in the time machine, back to your Little League days.
Yeah.
Were you a Little League All-Star, and at what position?
I was a schoolyard All-Star. I was not a Little League All-Star.
Did you play Little League?
I did not.
What?
Yeah, I don't know if this is parental neglect or what. I did go one time. My parents took me to a practice.
Okay.
It was a Little League practice. I got to play because it was my buddies, and I was like, I want to do Little League. And they're like, okay, we'll take you to a practice. I had an awesome time, and that was the only time I ever went. I never pushed
really?
That, I guess, but we played baseball all the time when I was growing up, just in the schoolyard, like a group of kids.
Okay.
And none of us played Little League. We just played in the neighborhood.
Ball.
It was Sandlot. It was all Sandlot. So I was a Sandlot All-Star.
Oh, wow.
I was never a Little League All-Star. Preseason's upon us.
Yeah.
One of the best parts of preseason in camp, if you're a camper, is pranking other campers and making the rookies do things. JD, in your college football days, I want to know what was the best preseason prank either done to you or done by you.
Wow. There's a lot of fun pranks you do during fall camp as you're getting to know each other. Of course, if you ever watch Hard Knocks, you know, they
sure.
get players up and they're singing, and that happens in the college level too. You go up there, you have to sing your songs or sing your fight song and get booed by the upperclassmen. But you have a strict schedule.
Yeah.
It is very strict. I mean, you're up at this time, you're eating at this time, you're in the weight room at this time, you're in film study at this time. You know, and it's 3 days. You're on the practice field. You have lunch. You're on the practice field. You know, it's
structured,
very,
yeah.
very. So you don't want to miss anything, or you're running. You're in trouble.
Okay.
So if somebody pennies you into your room, and we would penny people. If you're not familiar with penny, you just stack pennies in until the door is really, really tight.
Yeah.
Right. And they can't open the door. And we did that to one guy. Oh my gosh, he finally got out of there and he was like a bull in a china shop. He just wanted, he was out for blood.
Yeah.
He was out for blood. And to this day, he doesn't know who did it.
Until
it
now.
Was a group of people.
Way to distance yourself a little bit.
Well, I'm trying. But it a lot of hijinks go on.
Yeah.
A lot of hijinks go on. Speaking of which, you have watched a little bit of Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
What aren't you seeing on Hard Knocks that you would like to see? Because they give you a behind-the-scenes look of a few players
mm-hmm.
kind of trying to make the team, a veteran, you know, still trying to hang on. You know, they do a good job trying to make the drama out of it. But as a fan, what aren't you seeing in that series?
Man, I do appreciate how, each episode it feels like they zone in on one player and maybe that guy gets cut or that guy has a good moment at the end of the thing. What I'd love to see is if they followed somebody, they just had a show where they followed one guy trying to make the team and going from beginning of training camp until a decision's made on him, like he's cut or something. Do like a, if it even had to be an online offshoot of the Falcons, I just want to follow one guy going home, seeing what his home life is like. Then he has to get up, go in, do his job, try to do the best he can and see if he makes the team. I feel like not only is that entertaining for me, but I think that's good for the players, too, because you get to see that as an individual player.
Mm-hmm.
You get to see what it takes if you're growing up and you're trying to figure that out. And for that player, there's an incentive because you've got a lot of people all of a sudden pulling for you
yep.
and a lot more eyes on you.
Yeah, you may get exposure to get on another team if you do get cut.
JD, every year there are teams, previous teams that made the playoffs that won't make the playoffs the coming year. I want to know from you which playoff teams from 2013 will not. Give me one team. I'm not going to ask for all the teams. Give me one team from this past year's playoffs that won't make the playoffs.
That's hard. That actually is very hard. And I'm going to throw out one that's going to really shock you. And you're going to be like, what, JD? San Francisco 49ers, and this is why.
Hmm.
Big quarterback contract.
Mm-hmm.
Always a downturn after that. Partially because you had that quarterback on rookie money. And you were able to spend money on linemen, tight ends, linebackers, D-backs, whatever. Now, you've got another 14 mil locked into a single player.
Yeah.
So the talent may not be there. Plus, you have a reigning team out west who has something to say about it. So it sounds weird, but I'm going to say the 49ers are the team that aren't going to make it to the playoffs.
You know, they are the team that made the playoffs last year that's so vulnerable to a quarterback injury because you've seen how Blaine Gabbert has done in the preseason, and you're like, man, if anything happens to Colin Kaepernick, they're just going to be snapping the ball to Frank Gore directly because that offense won't work. Very vulnerable team at that position.
Bobby, I don't know if you read today, they had an article out with 56 college football teams that are having new uniforms for the season.
56?
Helmets. Something has changed with their uniforms. And we're talking like story programs, Oklahoma, Nebraska.
Have you seen the Michigan ones?
The Michigan is bad. You know, BYU's changing things up. Kansas is horrible. Is enough with this uniform thing?
Man, I get it because every few years your contract changes, so you get bidding wars with other manufacturers, and so Nike's battling Adidas, battling, you know, everybody out there under the sun to try to give you your uniform, and then when they get the deal, they want to put out new ones so they can sell them to the people and get them to buy new ones. It makes sense on paper.
For business.
Yeah. But really, it's cute when a couple teams do it. It's cool that Oregon does it every year. They have a bunch of uniforms. They break them out. I like that. But for every team to start doing that, it loses its niche. It loses its cool factor. I'm tired of it. They don't need to be doing that. It's time to go to the tradition. Look at the traditional uniforms. That's what college football is about.
Yep.
It's about tradition. It's about marching bands. You like that? It's about marching bands. It is.
Hey, when you hear that band playing as going to the stadium, you know it's a different
atmosphere.
That's
the worst part is whenever you break, it's a timeout. Instead of playing the marching band, you're hearing the Black Eyed Peas. You're like, the marching band's there for a reason.
Yep.
These new uniforms is trying to get rid of the marching band. It's trying to get rid of those traditions in college football. I don't really like it. I get it, but I don't like it.
All right.
JD.
Yep.
Ranking these two TV shows has got to be one of the toughest things you'll ever have to do because I know your love of both of these shows.
Sopranos.
Okay? Nope.
And West Wing.
These
and Game
are
of Thrones.
The shows that, and your wife can verify, Charmed is one of those shows that you watch religiously.
Oh, I wouldn't
when
say.
When it was on, you watch religiously, and in the mornings, getting ready for work, Charmed was one of your favorites. However, Rizzoli and Isles over the past 3 years has really swooped in and filled that spot. Desert Island, you can only take one series, JD. Are you taking Rizzoli and Isles or are you taking Charmed?
I asked for this, didn't I?
You did.
Here's the deal.
I like that you're going to break it down now for people.
They're both fine pieces of cinema. The Charmed, I watched it.
For the dialogue, right?
There's a couple hot girls on the show. Alyssa Milano, come on, man.
Yeah.
I enjoyed watching that show, and because of that. Now, I do watch Rizzoli and Isles.
Mm-hmm.
Good crime show. Angie Harmon, still looking good. Good work, Jason Sehorn. But it's actually, it's grown on me as a show. So I have to take one to a desert island with me. Am I alone on this desert island?
Does that matter?
I think it might.
Oh, no. I think I know where this is going.
It's a draw. It's a pick'em.
It's a pick'em. Oh, boy.
I, you know what? I have to give you an answer. That's what the six-pack is all about.
Yep.
I'm going to take some Riz and Iz with me.
Riz and Iz, going with JD. Now, we're going to take you to the last call. One stop away, coming right up.
Last call, one stop away. Bobby, mine comes from sunny LA. You know, there are things that go well together. They always go well together. Hot wings, ranch dressing, chocolate and peanut butter.
Pizza and beer?
Pizza and beer? I'll give you that. Rizzoli and Isles? Yes, these things all go well together. But booze and scantily clad women are going together well in L.A. Thanks to two California companies, residents can now have alcohol and clean clothes delivered to their doors by models in their skivvies. Yes, I used the term skivvy.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. How old are you?
It was part of the article.
Oh, I'm sure. It was part of the article. Yep.
Joint effort by alcohol delivery app Saucy, an underwear dealer MeUndies, has resulted in a week-long promotion to allow individuals to order sleepover packs. Sounds legit.
Mm-hmm.
After placing an order, customers will receive their alcohol of choice, mixers, clean underwear, new socks, a shirt, and sunglasses within 20 minutes. The packs will also include hangover-fighting vitamins. Now, in an effort to make the service really get off on the right foot, customers who order on the first day of business between 4 and 9 p.m. will have their pack delivered by a real-life underwear model. Packs retail for about $40 to $100. Fees are included. Even the tip. What they don't tell you. Yes, just the tip. What they don't tell you, though, is, so Bobby, you're sitting. You're like, I could use some clothes. I need some booze. Beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, boop, beep.
That's your phone.
That's your phone. Yep. You dial, and an underwear model is going to come. His name is Javier. It doesn't say if you can be like, can I get Alessandra Ambrosio to bring my stuff to me? You don't have that option.
It's a Sears underwear model is what they don't tell you. It's a Sears underwear models. The Lane Bryant underwear model is who's and coming to your house.
They're granny panties from the local VFW.
Oh, brother. All right. JD. A lot of people do crazy things for love. The glory of love, as it were. You're cracking a beer because you love beer.
Oh, gosh.
This woman cracked a bottle of wine. She opened up a bottle of wine because of love. It was a $3.99 bottle of wine, but still, her heart was in the right place. What she did, JD, she stole that $3.99 bottle of wine to get arrested.
What?
So she took it. Alicia Wallach stole a bottle of wine from the gas station. The police found her outside the business drinking the wine. The reason why she did it? She wanted to get arrested to see her jailed boyfriend. He'd just been arrested hours earlier, and she thought, if I do this, I will get to go to jail and be there.
What?
Not sure if she's versed in how jails go. Maybe she needs to
watch co-ed jails.
Cops has been on TV for a long enough time. I'm pretty sure it's pretty easy for you to figure out that they keep you separated.
Wow.
$3.99 for the power of love, JD. Would you steal a little bit of beer so you could visit me in jail?
No.
No?
No, you're rotten.
I'm rotten?
Yeah. You know, you can call. I expect to call. I mean, I'm your first contact. The first person you're calling.
All right. So you're going to help me if I call?
You're like, I need bailing out.
Yeah.
And I will be like, dude, it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm ready for some, you know, relaxation and some dinner soon. I will be there tomorrow pick you up at 8.
That's a true friend right there.
I'm still bailing you out, but I'm not going to sacrifice my slumber.
Just for that, I am not ordering you the underwear model to bring you some clothes. Sorry, buddy.
Well, that brings us to the station. It's been fun. A big thank you to Pete Burchich for joining us and talking Vikings and NFL. And you'll have to tune in later this week for Just a Sip.
Yeah, Just a Sip is our show. It's a shorter, significantly shorter show. It's about 5 to 10 minutes, and it's just a taste of what this show usually is, the Two Beers In. We'll have interviews. We have different topics that we talk about. This week, we have Pete back on, and he's talking Notre Dame football with us.
There's a lot going on right there. Players, are they going to be suspended? What's going on? Mm-hmm. We're going to find out. Pete's going to tell us later on in the week. And as always, you can follow us on Twitter at @2beersin. You can email us @2beersin. That's the number 2. @2beersin@gmx.com. And also, don't forget to go to sportsmockery.com for a lot of great news.
All right. We'll see you next week, everybody.
Am I alone on this desert island?
Does that matter?
I think it might.
Oh, no.